Om Shanti. Baba has often used these two expressions together, the return of love and fulfilling the responsibility of love. And Baba gives the Laukic example of how it's easy to fall in love, but then to fulfill the relationship of love is another story. And so in terms of our connection with Baba also, what is the return that Baba wants of me today? And what is my responsibility in terms of the relationship with Baba? And when I started to reflect on this, I realized that even before the question of a return, first it's a question of appreciation of how much I've received from Baba. Because we lose sight of that so often. We get caught up in the battles inside, or the battles outside, or the struggles of service and all the tensions and pressures that come in Brahman life, in the whole situation of settling accounts of 84 births, 63 births. Nobody else has to do that. You know, when some people say that, how come the faces of Brahmins don't reflect that intoxication? Well, I understand completely. You know, nobody else has the business that we have of settling the accounts of 63 births. It's huge. And if I think about how huge it is, then I begin to wonder if it's even possible. But before we get into that question, really just the appreciation of maybe the days of childhood when there was the pure innocence of finding God or God finding me and finding the beautiful treasures of knowledge that answered all the questions that I had ever thought of and opened doors and avenues to questions that I hadn't even yet explored. So I was just reflecting on how the Sakar Muralis have given us so much insight into every single aspect of spiritual knowledge, and the subject of yoga, of course, connected with that. But then we've also had these decades and decades of sustenance from Avyakt Baba, and just looking at today's Murali, never mind anything else, just today's Murali. And the clarification that Baba has given us on the subject of contentment, it's very powerful and it's very rich. It's a huge amount of material that Baba has shared. And then, not just this one aspect, but think about, we're now revising the Avyakt Muralis and you're getting a taste of the Avyakt Muralis first of the 80s, and now we're already into the Avyakt Muralis of the 90s. But you can see how every single virtue, every single value, every single spiritual power or manifestation of spiritual power has been described by Baba in such great detail. And so in a way, really, there are no questions that remain. And when we say that Baba's given us all treasures, it is a fact. And so today Baba's saying, Baba's given you all treasures of all the powers and all the virtues and all the knowledge. And as I hear that, what do I feel? Do I appreciate that, yes, this is what I have actually received from Baba? And think back to the days of your childhood, and probably that intoxication will emerge. That yes, truly there was that time when you experienced such amazing wonderment that how come I didn't know these things? These things are so real, so true, and how come I had escaped understanding all this? And so I think it's important to look back and firstly appreciate all the treasures that Baba's given me through the Muralis, but then secondly, all the treasures that Baba's given me through, whether it's conversations with the Dadis, and many of you here would have had personal meetings with Dadi, either Dadi Janki or Dadi Gulzar or another Dadi or a senior somewhere along the line, or even just the conversations you've had with other Brahmins, maybe your equals, maybe others further ahead than you on the path, whatever. But there would have been conversations that you've had on a personal level that would have again given you a deep appreciation of how much you've received from God, a new insight into an aspect that you hadn't looked at in a particular way, or something that felt as if, yes, really, this is like a blessing for me. And of course, some of you have had personal blessings directly from Baba, apart from the blessings of the Muralis, but very direct blessings. But also think back over the transformation you've experienced in yourself. Think back to what you were before you came to Baba. I know Baba says past is past, but to look back and appreciate is very valuable. So not to think about the sorrows and the problems and the burdens, but what were you like before you came to Baba, before Baba found you? What was the transformation that happened at the moment that you recognized Baba? And what's been the transformation that's happened since? And maybe at this point you're feeling that there's a long way to go, which is okay. But however far it is you've come, when I appreciate that, then again I feel a very deep sense of gratitude for Baba. Because the things that Baba's done for me on an inner level, nobody else could have done. And I certainly couldn't have done that for myself on my own. But Baba has made that happen. And you know your story more than anyone else knows your story, because nobody can really know what's been going on in your inner world. And so you know what are the changes that have happened inside. And so again, that appreciation, both for what Baba has done, but also for what you have done for yourself. And then another aspect of appreciation. Think about all the opportunities that Baba has given you, that Drama has given you, that the family has given you. Maybe it appeared that it was Drama. Maybe it appeared that it was a family. Maybe it was very directly a sense that it was Baba who gave you that opportunity. But again, Lokic life, and what Lokic life would have been, and the opportunities that Baba has given for most of us, and I think it applies really to most of us. I know that for myself it's absolutely a fact, the opportunities that Baba's given me, I would have had 1% of that in Lokic life. And I don't know whether most of you feel the same, that whether it's the opportunity to know about other cultures because you're meeting an international family like this, whether it's the opportunity to go to those countries and meet those Brahmins and see what's happening there and experience life there. That's one level, but just many, many different opportunities to learn new skills, new talents, or discover the talents that were there latent and you didn't know about them. Again, for those of us who came to Baba in our teens and early on, the journey of life, I don't know whether that would have allowed us to develop those talents or not, but certainly we came to Baba with very little experience, and it's Baba that's taught us how to be an estate agent, how to be a travel agent, how to be a PR person, how to be a writer, how to be a speaker, you name it and list it. And it's many, many different things that Baba's taught us. So just looking over all of that and seeing that there's so much that a soul has taken from Baba and the appreciation of what Baba has given. And then, yes, the question, now what can I do to give Baba the return? And definitely what Baba's been telling us since last year, and it was very touching for me to hear Baba say this. And some of you were there in Madhuban at that time when Baba said it. It was February or March, I think. And Baba looked at us and said, are you not going to fulfill Baba's hopes and desires? Baba has fulfilled your hopes and desires. Are you not going to do the same for Baba? And who was there at that time when Baba said this? Not many people are acknowledging it now. Well, maybe you were listening to it in your own countries, but certainly a few have remembered that. And I remember being very deeply moved by Baba making this point. Because on a human level, if somebody reminds you of how they have done so much for you, and then they're asking you for just one thing in return, that's a very touching moment. You've needed to be reminded because you've forgotten how much they've done for you. And so then when they remind you and the memory awakens and emerges, then that melts your heart and they ask you just for one thing in return. And then you feel, but can't I even do this much? And here is Baba asking the same thing of us. Are you not going to fulfill my hopes and desires now? And what Baba was talking about was becoming Bab Saman, becoming like the Father in all the different aspects that Baba has described so beautifully, whether it's in terms of having good wishes and generosity of spirit, having benevolence in our hearts and nothing else but that. So all the different aspects of Bab Saman. So these are the things that Baba's wanting for us. This is the return, the turn that Baba keeps saying, turn yourself around and give Baba the return. And when you've turned yourself around, it means your sanskaras have finished and it's just Baba and Bab Saman. Dadi Gulzar used to share this a lot earlier on, and I haven't heard her speak of this in recent times so much, but early days when she would come to London, and it was a big novelty for Dadi Gulzar to come abroad. Maybe that's why she used to say it then and not so much today. But she used to say that, what I love is that when all of you see me, you don't see me, you just see Baba. I disappear. And it's true that when you see Dadi Gulzar and you see that face giving you drishti, that human personality, even when we know that Baba's up there and it's Dadi Gulzar here, but when she's in yoga and she's giving you drishti, then what is it that you feel? That she has disappeared and it's just Baba there in front of you. This morning I had the opportunity of, this afternoon actually probably by then, but anyway, I had the opportunity of going to Baba's room in Pandit Bhavan just for a few minutes. And that room has a magic that no other place on earth has, naturally. But again, we forget it. And so just being there even for a few minutes, and it's a very beautiful, powerful reminder. But I was thinking as I looked at Baba in Baba's room there, that this personality, the human personality, removed the ego, the I, to such an extent that it's just Baba that was able to work through and shine through and be reflected. And so when Baba's asking us to be Bab Saman, that's again what Baba's asking of us, that I and my should be removed so completely that others don't see me and my sanskars, but Baba's able to be visible. And so again this morning, today, Baba's saying that, well, firstly, you have to be revealed. Reveal yourself to yourself. And then reveal yourself to the family. And then you'll reveal who Baba is to the world. And yes, it makes total sense that it's only when people see the proof of what it is Baba has taught us through our lives as we give Baba the return of love, then they'll say that, yes, truly, this must be God. This must be God's teachings. I'm reminded of the tests that Baba had mentioned to us when Baba first became Avyakt and the first Murali that Shiv Baba came to speak. Baba mentioned very categorically at that time that people are going to look at you to see if all of you are in unity. Just as the stars of the sky sparkle and they live together, in the same way you are the stars of the earth, and are you able to live together? And this will be the proof that, yes, it's been God who's been teaching you. And secondly, Baba mentioned that people will come seeking information, and it'll be in the guise of being seekers. But in fact, they'll come to test you, to see whether this is the proof of what it is you're saying. And so I think that this is what the world is waiting for. For us to be the proof of what Baba says, then they'll believe that, yes, this is Baba. Until then, it's not going to be possible for them to believe it. And then thirdly, Baba had said that there would be lots of negativity at the end. And just recently, in one of the muralis that we've been revising, Baba spoke about how there would be upheaval through the elements of nature and the negativity of Maya, the five elements and the five vices all coming together to create huge, huge negative storms and upheaval. I would use the word evil spirits, but my interpretation of that today is this huge amount of negativity. And so when all of that comes, then do you have the power to be absolutely steady and unshakable? And if there's been the proof given to Baba through my own understanding and my application of Gyan, yes, there will be that power to remain steady and unshakable in the force of all of this. Again, today's Murali Baba was referring to the force of the elements, but in that context that first, the conquest of the senses, the conquest of the inner senses, and then the conquest of matter. Yesterday I happened to hear 5 minutes of a class by Jagdish Pai, and the amazing thing is that even in that 5 minute class, I learned something very new for me. I hadn't looked at it like that or understood it like that. 2 things he mentioned. One, he spoke about Angad, and you've heard Baba talk about Angad before, the strong, steady, unshakable one. But he explained the meaning of the word, and I'd never asked the question, and nobody ever told me. And so Ang means your limbs, your senses, your sense organs. And so his point was that, and then Angad, Ad, the Adul, the unshakable one. And so the connection he was making was the one who has conquered the sense organs is the one who's able to remain steady and stable and unshakable. And so the translation of Angad, the steady, unshakable one, but the name is telling us that that happens when there's been the conquest of the senses. And so just this awareness that to have that state of steadiness and stability that Baba's asking of us, and to be able to give the proof that yes, it is God who is teaching me, then I need to have gone through that process of conquest of the sense organs, the conquest of the inner senses, the mind and sanskars and so on. And then, yes, I'll have that power to be steady and unshakable. And he used another word that was, again, very interesting. He commented on this word, imagination, and how the word imagination has a very bad connotation to it today. Most times when we say, well, this is your imagination, you know, we're dismissive. It's not real. It's not true. It's just your imagination. But his point was that the word is connected with this word image. Now create the image in your mind and experience that. So imagination, create that image and come to that experience. And so why I'm remembering that particular word is because in terms of giving Baba the return of love, do I have a very clear image of what it is that Baba expects of me? And have I accepted that image for myself? And I'm remembering how at one point when I came to Baba without any gyan, just family and love and very good karma and fortune, and Baba was talking about my becoming a spiritual teacher. And it wasn't even an image that I could understand, let alone accept for myself. And so Baba says many things, but to what extent do I firstly understand, and then to what extent do I accept what Baba is saying? Or even just this afternoon, somebody said to me, Baba has very high hopes for me, and I accept that, but that's easy. Because I can just say, yes, Baba, I'll do it. And yet when Daddy expresses her high hopes for me, then I feel that, well, Daddy is expecting me to do it now, at this moment. And so I get a bit scared. And I said, well, because God is incorporeal, you can postpone it. You can say that, yes, Baba, I'll do it sometime. And Baba's not going to strike you down with a lightning rod and say, do it now. But yet, in fact, what Daddy's doing to us is what Baba probably did to her. When Baba said something to her, she took it as, it's for now, it's this moment, it's not for some time later. And this is why Daddy is what she is today. And so when Daddy says something to us today, and she's expecting us to be that and do that now at this moment, she's actually translating what the incorporeal father did on the corporeal level with the souls who had that fortune. But she is now the corporeal instrument as the other daddies to help us do the same also. And so, image, imagination. Here's Baba telling me, this is how I see you. I see you as the Master Almighty Authority. And in the days that we had personal meetings with Baba, when Baba would give us these amazing, powerful, beautiful titles, and we weren't ready to accept them, it was very clear, you know, the face of the individual, they're sitting there in front of Baba, and Baba's giving them all these wonderful blessings. And it's quite clear that it's sort of, way above, and the soul isn't really accepting it. And Baba would give them an injection through drishti, and just through his presence, until the soul began to say yes, and accepted what Baba had said as their blessing. And so I know that when Dadi gives us a blessing, or shares her hopes and aspirations with us, she wants us to take it on board and make it happen now, today, as did Avyakt Baba in the days of those personal blessings, but as did Sakar Baba with those who had that fortune of being with Sakar Baba. And so today, am I accepting the image that Baba has put in front of me? Is my imagination capable of taking that leap and saying, yes, I am an angel? How big of a leap of my imagination is it? Or is it still that, well, yeah, maybe, sometime, somewhere, at some point. But no, the return of love is to say to Baba, yes, now. And I think that time is really running short. I was very deeply moved by Bholi Dadi's departure, because again, those of you who remember her from early days of where just one complex, and really early days, and it was still Bholi Dadi actively in charge of the Bhandara, then she became more and more the one giving good wishes, and others took on those duties and responsibilities, and now at the end it was really just her presence, and the machine of activity continued. She'd had to do nothing, just sit there. But of course, I remember her from the days of Sakar Baba, and then immediately Baba became Avyakt, those days also. And at that time too, Dadi always, always saying yes. You ask for anything, and it was a beautiful, beautiful nod. I never, ever saw her say no. And examples like this, people who have given their life to God and surrendered every bone for God's work, and you've seen them through the years, 70 years, and I haven't seen her for 70 years, but I saw her for 40 years, or maybe even, I would say, longer than that. But having seen them through all these years of sacrifice for God's work, and now God's work has reached such a massive scale, and you see souls like that who have given a return to God, and it's very deeply moving and inspiring. And so yesterday when we were saying farewell to that soul, and farewell to the chariot in particular, because the soul is with Baba and is part of the advanced party and it's doing its work. But in particular, it was saying goodbye and farewell to that chariot. And again, we saw the respect and the dignity with which that farewell happened. And I see how that original group of Dadis, we were counting yesterday, and it must be only about 25, 26 of that original group that still remain with us. And so, what is the story of the Yajna beyond this? I don't know. I really don't. And Baba's last Murali didn't shed any light. Baba just said the Yajna is immortal and the Yajna will continue. And so that also made me wonder, well, Baba, are you talking about another 30 years? Or are you saying that, yes, really, time is imminent? I don't know. But I do know that for myself, on a personal level, the sense that, yes, I have received so much from Baba, and so that whole aspect of appreciation of how much we've received, and then, to what extent have I given Baba the return? And have I fulfilled the responsibility of love to Baba? And every avyakt murali that we hear today, Baba's still playing the role of the loving father and mother, the teacher who's giving us instruction, the Satguru who's elevating us to our highest stage, the friend who's laughing with us, the one who's making us laugh. Avyakt Baba always has a way of making a gathering of 20,000 people laugh. It's quite a gift. It's a very special quality. And so Baba today, fulfilling from his side the responsibility of all relationships. And so, how am I doing? The faithfulness, the loyalty, the honesty, the obedience, all of that is part of my return to Baba and fulfilling my responsibility to God also. One of the things that Daddy always shares with us when we say to her, but how come you're tireless? How come you're just constantly giving and constantly serving? And she'll share the story of how when Baba became avyakt, one thought that crossed her mind was, we've had so much sustenance, what about the new generation? And at that time, of course, there was no idea that there would be many, 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 many generations. But the new generation, even of those days, how are they going to be sustained? And Bapdada met with, Avyakt Bapdada met with the Dadis in Baba's room, the little Baba's room at that time. And Baba said to them, you are now going to have to return the love that you have received. You have to give others that same sustenance and that same love. And so on the one side, I'm seeing the return as being my turnaround and my transformation. But on the other side, I am seeing how each one of us has a responsibility to the family. And the extent to which I have taken that sustenance, have I given any percentage of that in terms of returning to Baba, the sustenance giving to others what I have received from Baba? And so again, the whole subject of sharing, and not just sharing from a platform. When Daddy shares, it isn't just from a platform. She's on a platform for an hour, 2 hours a day maybe. But what is she doing the rest of the time? She's sharing. I remember early days, and I used to actually note that Daddy talked for 18 hours, many days. And many of you remember those days. And some, to a certain extent, she's still continuing. The timetable has shifted, but it's at least still 12 hours, if not 18 hours now. And I used to wonder, well, how is it possible just simply to give, to give, to give? And, you know, no thought for anything else. And I see that it's given her new life. It's given her blessings. It has given her additional life. And so now, again, she says how, again, this year, the period that she went through when she couldn't travel for the last month. And when I came back to Madhuban a few days ago, her voice still sounded very, very weak. And each day I've been hearing it get stronger and stronger. So again, she's saying, well, Baba's given me new life and is to be able to give the return of what Baba has given. And so if a soul like that is still thinking about giving, and as I say, it's not platform, but it's on a very personal level of sharing, of being able to share on a personal level the experiences that I have had from Baba and the seniors, so that then others can also come close to God. Maybe the highest act of charity that we can do is to bring others closer to God. And I mean that not just in terms of souls out there. Yes, to share Baba's message and to bring them closer to God, definitely. But in terms of the Brahman family, if I've spent time with you, have I been able to give you that sense of Baba's presence? Is this what we've shared together? And have we been able, then it's actually not just bringing you closer to God, but if I've been able to keep Baba in my heart and that sense of presence of Baba, then I've brought myself closer to Baba too. So one of the favorite expressions that Baba's using, that he's using currently, is the visible fruit of service and the power that you get, the visible fruit, but the inner power that you get. Well, for me, it's this, that if I've spent time with anybody, or if I've spent time on my own, if it's been accurate in the right way, then it doesn't matter what we've done together, whether it's serving together, cooking together, walking together, eating together, talking together, but have we brought each other closer to God? And do we feel that sense of God's presence? And I think that that is what was very powerful and beautiful for the early days of the Yagya, that Baba wasn't with them physically. You know all the stories. Baba lived on Clifton Beach, and Baba was supposed to be only with his Lokic family, and so Baba met them just from time to time. It wasn't even every week or every 2 weeks, it was just suddenly whenever it happened. But the houses, whether it was the 60 Kumaris that were together, or it was the mothers that were together, or whoever, whatever it is they exchanged, whatever it is they did together, it was in that sense of being God's children and being in the presence of God and talking about what it is that Baba had given them. And I think that this is something that we can create today if we choose to do so. And I first have to be able to do it for myself, to be able to keep Baba's presence with me so powerfully, so beautifully, that yes, I do feel that this is the relationship with God which is ongoing. It's not just 10 minutes yoga or half an hour yoga, but this is what my life is about. You know, we used to have people do this little chart, this little game. I'm sure many of you did it. You asked people, take a sheet of paper, take a book, and put yourself as a point on the center of the stage, and on your stage, now put in all the little points, the dots that represent the people that you have a connection with, and put the ones that are closest, the ones you have the most interaction with closest, and the ones you have interaction with from time to time a bit further, and so on. You've done this, haven't you? It's a very interesting little exercise. And then at the end of it, you ask the people, well, where did you put God within all of that? And when you do it with new people who come on retreats, most of them, 99% of them, haven't put God in the picture at all. Just not there. Which is true of Lokic people anyway. Once a week church, or once a week the temple, or whatever it may be. But for Baba's children, surely, when we became Brahmins, what we decided was that, yes, we were going to continue with fulfilling whatever other responsibilities it is we had, but we were going to bring God into the center of our life. That God had selected us and put us in a situation in which God became the center of our life. And many people who get caught up in service today say to me, but I didn't come to Baba for this. I came to Baba because I found God. And the return to Baba is to keep Baba at the center of my life, and yet still to be able to do all the other things that I need to do. And why I need to do all those other things is for two reasons. So that then I can do so much good karma. If I didn't have that opportunity of doing good karma, I wouldn't be able to settle my accounts of the past and be able to create my fortune. and totally aware of that. I'm not even giving Baba the return of love by doing service. It's not for Baba. It's because I need to do so much good karma that I settle whatever is my own other karma and I create my fortune for the future. And so this is why Baba's giving me the opportunity and saying, do something. It's not that Baba's saying, okay, I'm going to keep you so busy that you forget me. And this is what some people complain and say, since I came to Baba, I've become so busy that I've forgotten that intoxication of the early days, and so I don't know what's happened. But no, I made that happen through my forgetfulness. Baba didn't make that happen. Baba's giving me the opportunity of good karma and using all the things I've learned to be able to come to that state of all skills, all talents, all virtues, etc., etc. But the second and very, very significant factor for me in terms of being involved in service has been, it has been a mirror for my own sanskaras. Really. I would not have been able to know my sanskaras sitting in a corner meditating on my own. And so for me to say, I'm going to leave the field of action and go and sit and meditate, well, I can do that, but I'm not going to become karmatit like that. That's a fact. It's by being right there in the field of action that each day it's a mirror. It's a mirror. I see where I'm at, what's going on, how far have I imbibed tolerance, love, patience, good wishes. And if I haven't, well, okay, at least now I know. There was a recent Murali, maybe over the last, it was this season, 2 Muralis ago, 3 Muralis ago, in which Baba made this point of how even if somebody's insulting you, well, thank them. Because they've come to show you how much tolerance you have, or how much tolerance you don't have, both ways. But that's what it's about, being engaged with a family. And Lokic people, you're different. You don't show your true sanskaras to people out there. There's a code of conduct, a courtesy, an expectation, and you follow that, and it's okay. But it's within the family, and, you know, most people have 4 members of the family who see them as they are without their makeup first thing in the morning. And here we have a big family that sees us without any makeup, physical or emotional. And we see each other first thing in the morning every single day. And so we see each other very, very clearly, very transparently. And so we know each other. But that's how we learn and grow and truly give Baba the return. That yes, this is the transformation that's happened. So my point that I keep Baba in the center of my heart, the center of my life, and then keeping Baba with me, then engaging in all the other things that I need to do, which are for my transformation and my benefit and my fortune. I do all of that, but if I've kept Baba with me, then yes, the Brahman connections that we have, they'll begin to change. You know, sometimes the way we interact with each other is just all the force of the sanskaras coming. And we forget that it's Baba that brought us together. I mean, the majority of people sitting here now at this moment, I wouldn't have been in contact with if Baba hadn't brought me into contact with all of you. And so 99.9%, there's the 0.1% of Lokic relationships that have been transferred into Alokic, but all the rest, it's Alokic. So who brought us together? It's Baba. And so if I can remember that when I interact, then I'll keep Baba with me, but you also feel closer to Baba through feeling Baba's presence, and we'll bring each other closer to Baba. So In a way, this morning's Murali, but I suppose each day's Murali could be the same, but especially today's Murali. Content with myself, that's proof of my love for Baba and the return of my love for Baba. Contentment from others, with others, that's fulfilling my responsibility to God. It's a story that's been remembered in the Bible, and it's a story that's been remembered in the Indian scriptures, and it's a story that Brahma Baba mentioned. It's the same story. But the story goes of how, I'll give you Brahma Baba's story and then you'll remember how it comes in the other scriptures too. But Brahma Baba's story was Vendada Vishwakishor. On one level, many would say he was Baba's heir, many different ways. Dada Vishwakishor is in Bombay and he's feeling very ill. And they're sitting in Madhuban with Baba and they're seeing Baba's face become very, very pale. Baba, what's happened? Baba's feeling the pain of the child. And the story in the Hindu scriptures, Krishna's tongue burns, and it's because one of the bhagats has been given milk that's too hot, that scalded his tongue, and it's burning Krishna's tongue. So you get the point that if I'm giving contentment to the family, I'm giving contentment to Baba. If I'm giving pain to the family, what does Baba feel? Yes, okay, God is above and beyond. But surely, yes, at this moment in Sangam Yuga, God displays emotions that just are not possible for him to share any other time in the Kalpa. So we've seen Baba moved. We've seen Baba with feelings. And so contentment to the family is giving contentment to Baba. And if it's discontent to the family, that's also the other way. And so the proof of my love, contentment here, on a two-way journey, with and from, both with the family. And of course then I know that yes, God is content also. Om Shanti.